Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad you're with us today. We do this every weekday, 11 a.m., with complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We have an absolutely jam-packed show today, so I want to get right into it out of the gate. Let's look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Joining us in segment one, we'll have headlines and news of the day, as always, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Then, joining us in segment number two, as always on Wednesdays, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com will check in. There's a lot to get to. We've got a little basketball stuff. We definitely have basketball recruiting at this time of year. And we want to touch a little football with Jeff when he joins us today later in the show. Then a special guest will be with us, Michael Adams. He's the head coach at Evansville Rights. He's also the coach of Christian Lander, a current sophomore in the state of Indiana who has absolutely had a terrific offseason. He not only played individually great this summer in front of college coaches, but in the last 3 weeks, he's added scholarship offers from Louisville, Purdue, and most recently Indiana when he was there visiting during the football game unofficially this past weekend. I thought he's a name on the rise. He's a name a lot of people are asking about. Let's get his high school coach on. Even though he's young, he's still a very young and developing player, but he's going to be a player for the next 2-3 seasons here in Southern Indiana that has a real opportunity to be a standout, perhaps the next Southern Indiana Hoosier to follow in Romeo Langford's footsteps down the road. So Michael Adams, coach of Evansville Rights, he'll be with us later in the program today, and we'll wrap things up as we do each Wednesday with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Week 5 of high school football coming up this weekend. Some really good games, a lot of competitive games. Columbus East coming to New Albany. Thought maybe New Albany was ready to challenge the Olympians. After the loss to Bedford, Columbus East might still be the class of the Hoosier Hills Conference. We'll have to wait and see. Also, Charlestown and Providence this weekend. That's got a good feel to it. Two evenly matched teams, two teams that are set to have solid closes to the season the rest of the way. And Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, rivals, Hoosier Hills Conference opponents. Floyd Central's played some decent football, lost a heartbreaker at Seymour over the weekend. Jeffersonville got their first win over the weekend, trying to get things going under first-year head coach Brian Gleasing. And, of course, Coach Gleasing, the former coach at Floyd Central, which adds a little off-the-field storyline to that already rival game coming up on Friday night. We'll cover all of that and more today on the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Headline one today, Jeff Goodman, now with the stadium, used to be with ESPN. When I think about college basketball analysts across the country, he's probably one of the ones, he and a couple others, that I really enjoy their work. I really take whatever they put out to be solid information. A guy that really is out there. He's at a lot of the games. He talks to the coaches. He's just involved. He's very engaged, I think is a fair way to say it, and he has been for many, many years, starting back when he covered recruiting in the high school game. But he's now with Stadium, another one of these online-only deals that you see the Athletic and Stadium and places like that popping up, new type online publications. But he has his official preseason top 25. And again, just because I respect Jeff doesn't at all mean that I even respect in preseason polls that much, but they are interesting to watch. Indiana obviously getting some mentions in a lot of these preseason projections out there. Jeff has the Hoosiers at number 20. He's got Kentucky at 1, Kansas is 2, Duke at 3, that's a little surprise. I think most people will have Duke at 1, maybe at 2 because of Kentucky, but definitely in the top 2. He's got Gonzaga at 4, Virginia at 5. Other Big Ten teams ranked by Jeff in his preseason poll on the Stadium website, he's got Michigan State at 11, Michigan at 19th, and Maryland at 24th. Again, the Hoosiers are 20th. I liked how he broke it down. We all know Indiana loses 5 players from last year's roster, and they add 6 players, really 7 players if you count Race Thompson, who practiced with the team last year as a redshirt. I added it up, though, with the stats that Jeff lists. Indiana loses in those 5 players 32.5 points per game scoring, but again, returns Jawan Morgan, has 6 newcomers as far as incoming 2018 recruits. Romeo Langford expected to be able out of the gate to contribute to the scoring column on a regular and solid basis, so we'll see what happens. He wrote about Indiana. He wrote a capsule about every team, and I'm always curious what these guys use as their basis on where they rank teams and what made this team stand out over this team, but Jeff writes, ultimately, and I'm reading here from his capsule quote, ultimately, I'm betting on the duo of Miller and Langford. Before that, he wrote, quote, but the key for IU will ultimately be point guard play. So interesting to hear different people's takes on Indiana. Obviously, I think both of those statements that I just mentioned from Jeff's capsule on Indiana, very respectable, and I think a lot of fans and all of us can see those are two areas Indiana will be counting on for the upcoming season. That's just the first of many more preseason polls and magazines and All-American teams and all kind of stuff that's just projections, but fun information to get us from where we're at now to Hoosier hysteria, and then, of course, from Hoosier hysteria to that scrimmage game, that exhibition game against Southern Indiana to open up the season. Headline number 2 today, I love this. Tickets, especially given Romeo Langford at Indiana, tickets are now on sale for men's basketball games in which Indiana students are on break from campus this season. Fans will have the opportunity to purchase seats for as many as 6 games and as few as 3 games. I love this for a couple reasons, and this is something that Indiana, I believe, has done now for at least a couple seasons. Number one, with Romeo there, with the fan base that he has in New Albany, in far southern Indiana, the people that came out to see him at high school games that had no connection with either team playing but were Indiana fans or just wanted to follow the hoopla of Romeo Langford and the player that he had become as a high school senior, this gives the average fan that may not be able to afford season tickets, even if they can't afford tickets, maybe they can't get them, maybe they've got kids and are too busy during the week, and Bloomington is a tough drive on a weeknight, especially with school the next morning and kids playing sports and all kind of other things. So I love the opportunity for the average fan to get an opportunity. They're not the best 6 games, but to be there for the environment, for the freshman year of Langford, for the Archie Miller rebuild of this program in year 2. The 6-game package includes the following games, and it's $276 for the full 6-game package. It's the couple Thanksgiving time games, UT Arlington, UC Davis, those games November 20th and November 23rd. It includes Central Arkansas game on December 19th. It includes the Jacksonville game on December 22nd. It does include 2 Big Ten games, January 3rd against Illinois, March 10th later on in the spring against Rutgers. And there also is a 3-game package available for $138. You can pick any 2 of the Arlington, UC Davis, Central Arkansas, and Jacksonville game. And you can pick 1 of the Big Ten games between Illinois and Rutgers to make up your 3-game package. But I love it. Again, it gives fans, especially with the little increased interest this year, the opportunity on a somewhat regular basis to get to Bloomington and experience things. And it's not just a one-time deal. You get to go multiple times and kind of become familiar with Assembly Hall and the parking and just the game day atmosphere, to be quite honest, even though it's not. Again, it's not the bigger or better games of the season, no question about that. The second thing I like, and this really won't affect the students when they're there because there have even been some issues with student turnout and engagement and interest when the students are on campus and are not on a holiday break. They just at times haven't turned out like you would expect that they would, like they should, like they did in the past for a passionate program like Indiana basketball. You have season ticket holders being turned away. You have people that would die to get your hands on, get their hands on tickets. And then you've got students that have tickets in hand that don't show up to the game. And you look in the upper rows of that student section, and it's not jam-packed. It's not always crazy like you would expect. Now, that might get better this year with Romeo and with Juwan Morgan back and with Indiana, I think, taking some major steps forward this season. We'll have to see. But anything they can do to permanently make pressure on the students to start coming out to some of these games, even the lesser games on the schedule, even the Big Ten conference games that aren't the marquee conference games, I think is good. And if it comes down to a point where they've got to offer more smaller ticket packages to get your average fans there for some of the better Big Ten games and some of the better non-conference games and charge a little bit more, and again, take some away from the students if that's what it comes down to, if they're not going to season after season jam-pack that place when they're on campus. I understand when you're on a holiday break and have the opportunity to go home and spend time with family and those sorts of things. But I like the small season ticket packages, and hopefully those of you listening that don't have season tickets that wish you had could get your hands on some tickets this season will take advantage of the small packages to get you and your family and kids up there to watch Romeo and crew play. Headline number three today, always fun to keep an eye on the national player rankings, especially for the senior class. 2019, Isaiah Stewart up at La Lemire from New York originally. He's the highest-rated player that Indiana's recruiting, at least in the Rivals rankings, at number five. Matthew Hurt is number six. Trendon Watford, haven't heard a lot about him lately from an IU perspective. He's number 16 in the new Rivals 2019 rankings. Trace Jackson Davis comes in at number 18, down two spots from the last Rival rankings that were out for 2019. Keon Brooks drops 11 spots, down to the number 26 spot in the country. Zeke Nagy, he's at number 37. Jamius Ramsey, he's at number 39. And of interest, Armand Franklin, who just committed to Indiana last week, he checks in at number 138 in the new Rivals rankings out yesterday for the class of 2019. Headline number four, Christian Lander, and we're going to talk with his coach a little bit later in the program today, Michael Adams, the longtime coach at Evansville Rights. He's blowing up, and I've mentioned every bit of this as it's happened, scholarship offer from here, unofficial visit to here, here's what's going on with him. Here's how he played at this event. But I just want to summarize what his summer and especially the last three and a half weeks have looked like for him. He took an unofficial visit last weekend to Indiana. He got a scholarship offer during that trip to Bloomington. He's expected to visit Indiana again unofficially for the Hoosier Hysteria event later this month, which, again, that will be a huge recruiting day for Indiana with players old and young, with players that Indiana is tracking very closely and players that Indiana just maybe has some lukewarm interest with. It's always a big turnout to get kids on campus for what's a really neat environment and a neat night at Assembly Hall. In the last 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks maximum, he's picked up scholarship offers, first from Louisville. Then he picked up an offer from Purdue when he went up to a camp that they held for prospects a few weeks ago. And I mentioned the Indiana offer, which came most recently this past Saturday during an unofficial visit. He had a scholarship offer from Illinois earlier in the summer, which means he holds three Big Ten offers at this point. And I think IUPUI may have been his first offer back a number of months ago, maybe even into the spring. He's number 14 in the country. You don't see a lot of player rankings for the 2021 class of guys that are sophomores, but he's number 14 by the 247 rankings that came out recently for that class, and he's going to be a player to track for sure. I'm not sure that any player at that age, at that young class of a current sophomore, has had a more exciting 3 weeks, month, summer, however far you want to back it up, than what he has. And a lot of fans excited because Evansville Wrights plays some of the local 4A teams, Floyd Central, New Albany, Jeffersonville, which means this season, his junior season, his senior season, you'll get a chance to see him play some of our local teams, our local kids, and he'll make some trips up here, obviously, as well. I think New Albany is at Evansville Wrights this coming season. Not sure about Floyd Central or some of the other local teams, but definitely a player that's really took some steps forward as far as becoming one of the top college prospects in Southern Indiana goes, and I really look forward to hearing from his coach, Michael Adams, a little bit later in the program. Final thing I want to mention, headline number five, Dane Fife's father, of course, Coach Fife now coaching at Michigan State, His father, a longtime high school coach in Michigan, very successful coach at Clarkston High School. And I saw the school put a tweet out congratulating him on his recent retirement from the coaching position at the school. And I thought, wow, we talk about great coaches in the area. We've got some Hall of Fame coaches. We've got some coaches that will go into the Hall of Fame, I think, in the coming years. And they have really impressive resumes. But check out this resume from Dane Fife's father. 36 seasons, 703 wins, which I did the math. That's about 19.5 to 20 wins a season over 36 seasons. 29 league championships, 30 district championships, 13 regional championships, and this is what tops it all off, 2 state championships. They came back-to-back over the last 2 seasons, which means that Coach Dan Fife will go out as a back-to-back state champion. So interesting there. That's a look at the headlines today. I do want to include IU is expected to have an in-home visit with Trace Jackson Davis later today as well. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, which means you can buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings. And when you do that, you'll get 3 or 6 free. That's a deal good every Wednesday at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Don't forget, Michael Adams, the coach at Evansville Rights, joins us later in the hour to talk about Christian Lander, a rising 2021 recruit, potential recruit for the Hoosiers. And Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins us later to talk high school football for Week 5. Stay with us. All of that and more coming your way on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Wednesday show. Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with us every Wednesday on the program. We talk IU basketball. We'll even fit some football in here in this segment. And Jeff, a lot of good information that people are still chatting about from Archie Miller's conversation on John Rothstein's latest College Basketball Today podcast that came out earlier this week. One of those things has been Deron Davis. He obviously is still not fully healthy. He is doing some activities, some workouts with the team, but I think Archie was quoted as saying he was at about 60 to 70% at this point. He could be a key given his size and given his ability to bang and rebound and do some things in the interior for Indiana, and going to be curious to see when practice gets here. I think the date of October 1st was mentioned that Archie hopes that he's back out with the team doing full-fledged practicing. Going to be interesting to see how quickly he can not only get back in basketball shape on the floor, but also improve his conditioning after sitting out for a long while.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting with Deron is at what point can he have an impact on the court? And I think the October 1 date, I get the very strong vibe. That's a target for when he will be physically capable of practicing, not necessarily ready to have an impact on winning high major college basketball games. You know, with Achilles, sometimes the healing process, sometimes it can go fast for a little while, then it can go slow, then it can speed up again. It's not always, you know, a straight line of, you know, okay, he's going to go from 0% to 100%, and you draw a straight line from here to there, and that's the timetable. Sometimes things go faster, sometimes things go slower. That's why, you know, for a long time, nobody could say specifically when he was going to be ready. He is doing more things. He's able to get out, you know, on the court, do some things as far as, you know, jumping over things with one leg. Not anything big, but just kind of like what you would call like a beam you jump over. He's able to put some pressure on it. So October 1 is the target date for when he's physically allowed to go out and have full contact and all that. He can do some things now. You know, he can run, he can catch, he can shoot, he can go through drills, he can do a lot of physical stuff. But he can't go out and be fully unleashed for full contact. Now, the question is really not when is he ready to be able to practice. The question is when is he going to be ready to be able to play at an impactful level, and that's still very much to be determined. I am not going to fall out of my chair if we don't see Deron Davis getting heavy minutes from the get-go when Indiana starts this college basketball season.
Talking with Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, here on this Wednesday program. A lot of good stuff in the Archie Miller interview with John Rothstein. And I think, and I said this yesterday a couple times on the program, I think a big part of that is we don't get to hear from Archie that much. So when he speaks, everybody listens, especially in the off season where there aren't regular press conferences and media opportunities to interview him. What was your most interesting takeaway? He had some interesting things, obviously, on Deron Davis with his injury. He also spoke some about Evan Fitzner, the graduate transfer, Romeo, Jawan Morgan, Justin Smith. He had some interesting comments about him and other things. I'm curious what you took away from that and were most intrigued about.
You know, I'd heard the Justin Smith stuff and I knew what they were doing with him and all that. You know, I thought, to me, the Fitzner thing kind of jumped out the most because when he talks about the size, you know, he's 6'10", 225, career 40% three-point shooter, won a ton of games, played in the NCAA tournament, competed against teams like Gonzaga. You know, the way he talked about him, I think, made it pretty clear what a lot of us have been told already. Evan Fitzner is going to play. And it's not just going to be as a guy who goes in there to maybe get a three here or there. I think Evan Fitzner plays in a meaningful situation. I don't think he starts from the jump. I don't think he's going to be ready to run the pack line. Now, obviously, we're sitting here talking in September 12th, so there's a lot of time left. But I know some guys, Zach McRoberts, Justin Smith. Certainly, Jawan Morgan, obviously, are much further along as far as understanding the defense. But I do think Evan Fitzner is going to play. I think the other thing is Archie continued to say what we've heard him say for some time now, and that's that Devontae Green continues to go down the path toward really being the kind of point guard that Archie Miller wants him to be, and that is a guy who makes – the plays that the point guard needs to make, doesn't go for the Sports Center highlight where there's maybe a 10% possibility of success, 90% possibility of no success. And if it works, hey, it's a great highlight. If it doesn't, it's a what in the world was that play? And I think the biggest thing for Devontae is he's really come to an understanding of what is needed out of him at his position. You don't have to be the guy who gets the highlights all the time. You have to be the guy who runs the offense, who gets everybody the ball where they need it to be. And I think that's the biggest change with Devontae. It's not necessarily physical. It's not necessarily, oh, this particular skill is better than the other. Biggest thing with Devontae Green is he understands, or he has shown an understanding through the spring and through the summer and here at the start of school year, that he is capable and willing to play the way Archie Miller needs a point guard to play. Now, obviously, it has to happen when you have an opponent out there wearing a different color jersey. It's one thing to do it in practice against your teammates. It's one thing to do it against cones and chairs and all that with the clock running. It's another thing to do it when the lights are on, the games count. But I think that's something Devontae Green's mental approach, I think, to me, is one of the bigger things for the IU basketball offseason program all year.
Jeff, we spend so much time, and rightfully so, talking about Romeo Langford, who we've not yet seen play a college basketball game, but we know his skill, we know his talent, and most importantly, he's loved in this area because of the person, the kid that he is. And obviously, we talk a lot about Jawan Morgan. Again, rightfully so. He is a leader for this Indiana team. He has professional aspirations. He, no question about it, will be one of the very best in the Big Ten Conference this season. But you talk about Justin Smith, and we hear Archie Miller's comments about him on that podcast with John Rothstein recently, and hearing you talk about Devontae Green and what others have said as well, there are a lot of players oozing with talent. A lot of talent, athleticism on this Indiana roster, and you just don't know exactly who and when they might break through into a starter or into the point guard that Archie Miller wants or the position that, they're being worked into. There just seems to be a lot of options and a lot of unknown in a good way because there's so much talent. Do you agree with that? I mean, I just feel like it's a very talent that we saw some real flashes of great things from Devontae Green and Justin Smith, especially at the end of the season, which has to have you excited about where they could maybe pick up and take it this year.
Yeah, I think there is talent. Is all the talent ready to have an impact at the major college level this year? That's kind of, to me, that's what makes this year intriguing. When is Jerome Hunter ready? He's got a lot of talent, but he's got a long way to go defensively. I mean, a long way to go defensively, which is true when you really evaluate honestly. That's true for about 97 to 98% of high school players. So that's not necessarily a criticism, but it is an honest observation. And you look at a guy like Jerome Hunter and you see the upside. I mean, Jerome Hunter might have the most NBA potential of anyone not named Romeo Langford on this roster. Now, just because you have the potential doesn't mean you're able to play at that level as a freshman. But he's one of those players you look at and you say, okay, you know, here's some among the, kind of like what you're talking about, things to watch, things that you know, okay, how good is this kid going to be this year? How far along is he going to be at certain things? You know, you look at Jerome Hunter, a lot of talent. Is he going to be ready as a freshman? Don't know, but that's one of the things to follow. Justin Smith, the amount of strength that he's added, barring the unforeseen, is going to have an impact this year because Archie Miller and his staff did what I thought was a really smart thing. They looked at different guys and kind of like with Justin Smith. He's getting to the rim a lot. He's getting to the lane a lot. He just doesn't have the strength to finish those shots, but he's already getting there. So let's spend the offseason adding strength so he finishes shots he's already getting. Then we'll move to the second step, add the three ball consistently and those kind of things. But I know it's a really smart move to let's start with the basics. He's getting there, but there's contact that in high school probably is a foul. At the major college level is not. Let's get him the strength, upper body, and leg strength to finish those shots. So I think that's something that's going to have an impact. And, you know, we talked about Devontae, the things there. So, you know, those kinds of things, I think, are things you really look at. I also think Rob Phinisee is a guy to really pay attention to. I think based upon how ready guys are right now, not projecting 3 or 4 years down the road, not looking at who has the best chance to go to the NBA, looking at who is the most ready right now. I think there's a chance, Rob Phinisee early on gets the second most minutes of all the freshmen behind Romeo Langford. So he's another guy to look at. But you're right, there are guys who have some talent and have some upside, but you also wonder, okay, you know, is it going to be freshman impact or is it going to be down the road? Jake Forrester's another guy. He sort of is that, I don't know if you want to call him a modern center because different teams are doing different things depending upon what the roster looks like. But there are teams that have the 6'8 guy in the middle who's more athletic as opposed to an old school wide body, you know, just going to kind of go plant themselves down there on the block kind of guy. He's not going to be ready to be a big time player as a freshman. But he's got so much athleticism. He played with and against so many big-time players, guys like five-star Mo Bamba, five-star Hamidou Diallo, five-star Cole Anthony, five-star Cam Reddish, just to name a few people that he played with and against during his career in high school and AAU. You know, he understands what it looks like to be an outstanding role player next to big-time players. He also understands what it's like to go up against big-time players. So I agree with you. I think there's a lot of talent in there, and it's going to be very interesting to watch different parts develop and, you know, at what pace do they develop.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Great stuff as we look at the IU roster for this upcoming season. I've got about a minute left, and I just want you to summarize and tell us what you know about two quick things. Trace Jackson Davis getting an in-home visit today from Archie Miller. There have been reports of that. Also, Keon Brooks, he's tweeted he's going to limit his list here very soon. Have you heard anything on either of those matters?
Yeah, Trace Jackson Davis has his in-home with Indiana scheduled today. And that was originally scheduled for Monday, but the family just was getting back from their Iowa official visit. So the Indiana in-home visit got moved. And again, way too much gets made of timing of in-home visits in the fall. You know, colleges are going to go see all their key players in the fall. Sometimes guys, you know, have openings early. And then the in-home visit season just opened on Sunday. Sometimes people say, hey, you know, we want a break from all this stuff. You guys come in next week or whatever. I know there was one parent who told all colleges, hey, we've seen y'all enough. All right, come in a little bit later, okay? And so don't get all caught up in timing of in-home visits. Not that big of a deal, as long as the visit actually does happen. As far as Keon Brooks, yeah, he's gonna cut it to six. I mean, we'll see exactly what he decides, but certainly, you know, Indiana, UCLA, Kentucky, Michigan State, those are pretty much, barring the unforeseen, those are four that are going to be in there. Purdue is really working hard to try to make the list as well, so that would be five. Kansas has been trying really hard to make the list. We'll see if they do or not, but if they do, that would be six. So those are among the schools to pay attention to for five-star Keon Brooks.
Jeff Rabjohn, Speaks.com, with us on Wednesdays. Tons of great information. Unfortunately, we didn't even get to football. Jeff had so much great basketball stuff. Jeff, always enjoy it. Thank you. We'll do this again next week and catch up with you then.
Definitely. Always appreciate it, man. See you soon, my friend.
All righty. Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohn, Speaks.com. In this segment, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Michael Adams, head coach at Evansville Rights, the coach of Christian Lander. He got a scholarship offer, even though he's only a sophomore, this past weekend during an unofficial visit to the IU campus. We'll get the latest on Christian Lander. We'll talk about what makes him such a special player, even as a youngster, that all these college coaches are taking note of in the Big Ten and beyond. That's coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Wednesday program, no question that when Evansville Wrights comes to town for a basketball game this winter against New Albany or Jeffersonville or Floyd Central, whoever the opponent may be, you know it's going to be a great game. Always a very talented club, a well-coached team, and we have the opportunity today to talk to the head coach of Evansville Wrights, Michael Adams, in his 26th year at Evansville Wrights, entering his 29th year overall as a head coach in the state of Indiana, and he also happens to be the coach of sophomore Christian Lander, who is receiving all sorts of early interest and even some scholarship offers from some of the great Division I basketball programs in the area. Coach Adams, thanks for taking time out to join us for a chat today. First off, tell us, you get to see Lander Christian every day in practice and in your workouts and in your conditioning for the upcoming season. What is it that has this team, or these coaches, I should say, so interested in a young prospect?
Well, you know, it is exciting, Matt. I mean, just to think that a kid this young is getting this much attention, it's pretty overwhelming. So I think the main thing we talked to Christian about is just trying to stay grounded and stay humble. But, yeah, getting to see him, he's really good. He's really impressive. I mean, I think his athleticism, he's obviously very skilled. He can shoot it with range. He can put it on the deck and lift and shoot that mid-range jumper. He can get it to the rim. He's a great passer. He's unselfish. He can guard. I mean, when you evaluate him, you can pretty much check off every box. And I think the fact that he's willing, I mean, this is his dream. I mean, he loves basketball, and he's willing to put the time in. But I think what stands out is just his athleticism. I mean, just his ability to run and jump. The kid is really explosive, and we're just excited he's on our side.
Absolutely. Michael Adams, coach at Evansville Wrights, our guest. We're talking about 2021 prospect Christian Lander. He's a sophomore. He logged a lot of minutes for you guys as a freshman. And as I said coming into this segment, Wrights is no slouch. You guys are very competitive year in and year out of the Evansville area representing Southern Indiana. You've had a number of college prospects, some great graduates from your program. To come in and play at a 4A program, let alone a 4A program with the reputation of Evansville Wrights, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, well, we're pretty proud of that. I mean, obviously, we've had our moments. We've also, like a lot of programs, you know, you have those years you struggle, but we've been very proud of what we've been able to do, and we've certainly have, you know, it's about individuals. We've had individuals that have made us really good and getting them to come together. So, you know, we do. 4A basketball is a tough league. I mean, just think about your area with Jeffersonville, New Albany, and Floyd, and think about what they meant to Indiana basketball last year. I mean, in the same sectional, I think all three of them could have won the state title. So it's really competitive basketball, and I think our kids coming into our program, we try to communicate with them, you know, just how hard you have to work and how committed you have to be, because, you know, we're not going to play the little sisters of the poor. I mean, we've got to be ready to compete at a high level. So it's a tough league, and I think it's a great league to be in, and especially for a kid like Christian that wants to try to go on, obviously, and play at the next level.
We're talking with Michael Adams, coach at Evansville Wrights, also coach of Christian Lander. Coach, you've been involved in the game as a head coach for many, many years. Don't you find it extremely interesting how it seems to get younger and younger that college programs begin to recruit players, even identifying prospects now as low as middle school? And just in your example, Christian is only a sophomore. He's not played a game in his sophomore basketball season yet, but he's got scholarship offers just in the last 3 weeks from Indiana, Purdue, Louisville. He had some others before that. It's amazing how early they identify and jump on these kids.
Yeah, and I think it is a rarity. It's really unusual, especially for a kid this young. But I think with AAU, you know, as big as that has become, and I think these guys really do their homework. I mean, they're out, and they've seen Christian play a lot, and they just do ID these kids early. And I think, you know, they feel like they have to get in on the kid early if they're going to have a chance to get them to come to their university. So it's a flattering thing, but it is kind of sometimes you got to sit back and take it all in. It's kind of overwhelming when you think of he's just going to be a sophomore. So he's got a lot on his plate, but it's a really good problem to have.
Absolutely. You mentioned his athleticism. That was something that obviously really, really stands out to you in addition to some of the other skills he brings to the court. Is that something that you think maybe is kind of the top thing that catches the eyes of the college coaches, even though his body and his growth just naturally isn't near as far as what it will be when he's a senior in your program, but you think it's athleticism that people are beginning to maybe kind of caught their eye at first to attract them?
Well, I think absolutely. But again, and we all will admit, I mean, he's the right age for his class, so he's very young. He's got a lot of maturing to do. He's going to get stronger. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get more explosive, all those things. But in addition to his athleticism, I think they're so impressed with his feel for the game. I mean, there's just sometimes you have those kids that can do things that you really don't teach. Just naturally, he just has a feel for the game. And I think not only is he capable, obviously, of scoring a lot of points, his willingness to give it up and share the ball. It is a team game. I mean, we're only going to play with one basketball, and I think they see him as a guy that can be a true point, someone that can score but yet run a team and handle it with someone in him and play through the bumps and the knocks. And so I think they really like that aspect of his game, his feel. But certainly, you know, at that level, you got to be able to run and jump, and he's able to do that, so that's impressive as well.
Great stuff on Christian Lander, one of the top sophomores in the state of Indiana, ranked number 14 in the 247 ratings. In fact, one of the, if not the top-rated point guard in the country in those ratings. Coach Adams, I appreciate the great information and, of course, always respect the job you do. Speaking of Evansville Rights, what's your team look like in addition to Christian for this upcoming season?
Well, to be honest, Matt, it's a little scary. We're going to be very young. We're going to be very young. Last year, I started Christian as a freshman and Drew Carlton. So, obviously, those two have some varsity experience, but they're just sophomores. We have two other sophomores, Owen Deese and Ethan Higgs, that will play. And then we have a freshman. Gavin Shippert will be in the mix, 6'5 freshman. So, to go into our league with four sophomores and a freshman, that's a little bit much. And then we finish our top seven out with a junior, Marquand Givens, and our only senior, Gary Tindenberg. So we're going to be very young, and but excited. I'm excited because I just believe that these guys have what it takes, and if we'll stick together and keep growing, we're going to really have a chance.
Coach Adams, I want to ask you, I've really enjoyed asking the local coaches, Jim Shannon, Todd Sturgeon, Joe Luce, others, what are their thoughts on the early practices that have been allowed in this limited contact period that began the last week of August? It seems that it's a new thing, different coaches in different parts of the state utilizing those in different ways. What are your thoughts on the opportunity to get your team together, not just for open runs and the chance to be in your gym and shoot on your goals, but to actually be able to practice and go through offenses and defenses and other schemes with your team, even at this early point with the season still so far away?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it is interesting. You know, I think that our governing body, the IHSA, they just got tired of, you know, I think guys were following open gym rules to all the way to blatantly breaking the rule to practicing,
yeah,
and everything in between. And I think the IHSA just got really tired of trying to police all that up. And I think they just told our athletic directors, listen, let them have the gym 2 days a week, 2 hours, and do what they want. And I think that was their solution to that problem. And I think it is nice to be able to, you know, go instead of an open gym setting now to go in and actually be able to work with your kids. I know there was times you felt like you couldn't even say hi to them in open gym without violating the rule. So I think that's good. Now, I think the bad is, you know, we're even though we're 4A, we are not that big of a school, and we have to share athletes here. And the concern I have is that since it's now practice, if we're not going to, you know, discourage some of these kids from playing more than one sport, thinking, you know, well, I got to be at that practice. And then when you look at a kid that's a multiple sport guy, that's a lot on his plate. You know, Coach Adams is having basketball. Well, I'm a football player. Well, I want to go to his basketball workout. And then, you know, I'm a baseball guy. So now that kid is not being allowed to be a kid. It seems like he's being pulled to a lot of different events every week. And the season hasn't even started. So I have some concerns with it. My personal self, I encourage these guys to go ahead and play their other sports. And, you know, get that, you know, be committed to me during my season and, you know, try to support them and not discourage multiple sport guys. But for guys that are over the top, like a Christian Lander, that's just all basketball, I think it's a great thing because I can work with him and not worry about violating a silly rule.
Absolutely. Michael Adams, coach at Evansville Rights, one of the great ones in Southern Indiana high school basketball. Coach, I'm sure that as your team progresses, as Christian's recruitment continues to progress, we'll want to have you back. Look forward to seeing you in a couple months when the high school season finally arrives. And thanks so much for taking time out to join us today on the Hoosier Report.
Well, hey, anytime we can talk about our kids and what we do, it's a great thing. So appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Michael Adams, head coach at Evansville Rights. Boy, he has had some fantastic teams over the years coming out of the pocket city of Evansville. We're going to close the program today with News and Tribune sports editor Greg Mengelt. He joins us for a quick look at week 5 of high school football in the area. And Greg, I told you this last week, I had it all mapped out. It was Columbus East at New Albany. The Bulldogs were going to be undefeated for a big one, a great crowd at Burke Field. And I tell you what, it just didn't happen. Bedford North Lawrence coming into Burke Field last week had other plans, and that was a thrilling football game, but obviously has handed New Albany its first loss. I'm still excited about Columbus East, New Albany, but there would have been something special to see the Bulldogs undefeated in that game, but no can do, right?
Yeah, did you say week five?
Yeah, week five.
Already?
Week five, wow. Almost more than halfway through the regular season. Unbelievable.
It just started. Quite a crushing loss at the buzzer, as you know, which doesn't happen a lot in football. 2 years in a row, Bedford North Lawrence has beaten New Albany, basically with no time to play, and I guess that's the way it goes. The concern always has been since I've been here, the defense for New Albany, and that showed up again. They just couldn't stop Bedford. And we talked about McCall Ray and how good he is, Bedford's quarterback. I think clearly the best quarterback in the Hoosier Hills Conference, and he played well and led his team to a win. So still a big game this Friday and one of a few.
Yeah, absolutely. Charlestown, Providence. We're going to break that one down Thursday night out at Zaxby's on State Road 62. We'll have Jason Hawkins of Charlestown, Larry Dennison of Providence there. We'll also have Marion Lukes, as well as some other Pirate players and Providence players as well, to kind of preview the game and talk about the season so far. I think that could be a good one. I mean, two teams playing really well. Charlestown coming off a huge victory over North Harrison. We know the performances, the numbers that Marion Lukes has been putting up for the Pirates. Providence is tested. They lost to New Albany and Floyd Central, and now they've turned that corner playing more reasonable schools as far as size-wise. I just think it will be a tremendous matchup. A lot of talent in that game, a lot of experienced football players in that game. I think that'll be a really good barometer for both teams as they move into the second half of the season.
No doubt. I think of all of our eight local teams, there's probably not a better matchup than this one. Two good running games, two good defenses. It's just going to be a matter of who can stop who. And, I have no idea who's going to win this game. I think it's a toss-up.
Got to talk Jeffersonville, Floyd Central as well. That obviously is a rival game. Floyd Central has shown some flashes of great ability. They lost a heartbreaker over the weekend up in Seymour in the final, I think, 10 seconds of the game. Seymour scored to take the lead and then hold on for a possession or so to win. Jeff, on the other hand, they've had an extremely difficult start to the season. New coach Gleasing is proven, but getting his system in at Jeff. They've also had a very difficult schedule as far as playing great talent in the area, both sides of the river, really, starting down at Pulaski Southwestern. Their scrimmage was Warren Central. We know how good they are. They played a very solid Seymour team. We're finding out now Seymour probably better than what we gave them credit for at the beginning of the season. They played Bedford and got their first win on Friday. Really got it going in that final period against Madison to put some space between the Devils and the Cubs to win 30-14. I think that a few weeks ago I may have thought Floyd Central was a big favorite in this contest, but now that we've seen some other scores and had a chance to kind of put the matchups together, it might be a really close game. It might be one that could go down to that final period or so.
Yeah, if you start comparing scores, you could get really confused by this one. Cause you compare the Madison score. I mean, look at Madison. Floyd beat him 59-0, and Jeff trailed Madison late in the third quarter. So if you looked at that, you'd say, well, Floyd's going to win this by half a century. But if you look at the Seymour comparison, you think, oh, Jeff's going to win this game. So sometimes your head can start spinning when you start looking at past scores. But, obviously this game is about Brian Gleasing, 11 years at Floyd Central, then moved to Jeffersonville in the offseason. He's going to go back to where he was for 11 years and be on the opposite sideline. So I think that's the big story, obviously. That was quite a disappointing loss for Floyd Central. I have no idea what happened. And we'll see which Floyd Central team we see on Friday night.
we've got about a minute left, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game on Sunday or not, but after the initial reports were that Josh Rogers would not get another start for the Orioles this season, he had just pitched so many innings between minor and Major League Baseball, that was expected to be it. He did get the start on Sunday, and it did not go well for him. I don't have the stat line in front of me, but his first two games, obviously one was a win, one was a loss, but very, very good pitching numbers across the board. This last game got out of hand, and it got out of hand fairly early. Did you get a chance to watch that one?
I did not, but, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that Josh Rogers is a Major League Baseball pitcher. You know, I think I said this last week, I don't think he's ever going to be a star. You know, when you watch him, probably not going to be an all-star, throughout his career, but I don't think there's any doubt that he belongs. When I listened to the radio broadcast, the Orioles radio broadcast, they felt the same thing. So very good to see him do that, and someone that we followed for years have success like that.
And the final score Sunday was Baltimore falling 8-3 to Tampa Bay, 8 runs, 13 hits, no errors. I can't remember how many innings. That's what I was trying to look up, how far innings, many innings Josh went in the game. Nonetheless, three major league. Yeah, it was quick. Nonetheless, three major league starts for him. Two very good performances. One win out of the three. We'll see what happens for next year. Greg, shorter segment today, but always great to catch up. Of course, you and I will visit again Friday night on our kickoff show. It's a great way right before kickoff to hear a preview and some final notes on all the local games, and that's always fun. So until Friday, I'll catch up to you then.
Thanks as always, Matt.
That's going to wrap it up for this Wednesday show. Don't forget, the Hoosier Report available as a podcast on SoundCloud. You can download the app, or you can point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Just search the Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a positive rating. Leave us a good review. That will help us link up with other people who might be interested in a radio show covering IU and Southern Indiana sports. Thanks for being with us today. Don't forget, back on Thursday, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.